All right, we're up to green beans in the Thanksgiving feast. I forget what it was the other year, but I thought, gravy, and now we're moving up to green beans, and pretty soon we'll be the star of the outfit. That's good stuff. Matthew chapter 14, starting with verse 17 is where we'll be this morning. When Barb and I accepted the assignment to come to East Berlin, it was a home missions work, just a church getting started, a couple of folk had gathered together. We were meeting in what is the library today over on Locust Street without the new fancy addition that it has on now. Wages were pretty meager in those days, and we were living hand to mouth for the first couple of years. And visited the folks one time. My mom had a bench out on the porch. I looked it over, and I got an idea. I think it was inspired by the Lord. And we started a little bench business for that summer. We hadn't had any savings account. We had a checking account that was close to zero most of the time. And was just praying and hoping, you know, Lord, I'd like to have a savings account. And so we started making benches. I did the carpentry, and Barb did much of the finish work on them. We could make benches, but we weren't very good at selling benches. And back in that day, we're talking a little better than 30 years ago, craft stores and crafts were all the rage. How many remember that season we went through in our society? So we worked up a relationship with some of these stores, and some of them would buy our benches wholesale. Some of them would take them on consignment. And we worked through that summer, and by the end of the summer, we had saved $1,000. We had our first savings account. We had a little bit of a foundation to us from that point on. We were the producers. The stores were the distributors. Without the distributors, we would have had a garage full of benches and would have actually been poorer than when we started out. The distributors were very important to us. Jesus has produced forgiveness, healing, deliverance, peace, and many other wonderful expressions of God's love. We are His body, His distributors. If we don't do our job, if we don't allow Him to work through us, much of what He has done will go unnoticed, uncared about. We are certainly dependent upon Him. Without Him, there'd be nothing to distribute. But He also is dependent upon us. He has called us into this work alongside of Him. He is the producer. We are the distributors. Matthew chapter 14, verse 17. We have here only five loaves of bread and a fish, and two fish, they answered. Bring them here to me, he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men besides women and children. Father, here we are. We're hungry. We're hungry, Lord, for what even food can't satisfy. And we pray that you would break the bread of life to us today and show us how to live. Teach us what is missing and how to do it better. And we'll thank you for helping us to focus, helping us to get it right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our text takes place in the larger context of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Jesus had said to his disciples, come away with me, we'll take a little time off and get some rest. So they went to the most remote area they could possibly think of. And what did they find there? A huge crowd looking for them. And these people were needy people. They were hurting physically, they were hurting emotionally, they were hurting in their relationships. And Jesus had compassion on them. So he began to teach, and he began to touch. And bodies were healed, and people were delivered. It was a wonderful day of meeting. But I think one of the disciples' stomachs began to growl. And he looked at his buddies, and his buddies looked at him and said, yeah, I think it's dinner. Getting to be dinner time. So they said, Lord, you need to send the people away now so they can go to the surrounding villages and get something to eat because we really care about them. I think maybe they were a little concerned for their own stomach at the time. And Jesus startles them when he turns and he looks to them and he says, you give them something to eat. Say what? There's 5,000 men plus women. So we're talking 10, 12, 15,000 people in this crowd. Go ahead, you feed them. Give them something to eat. The disciples could not produce enough food to feed 5,000 people. They looked around. They gathered their resources together. They came up with 5 little loaves of bread and 2 fish. That's all they had. And they're looking at 5, 10, 15,000 people who are hungry. Why'd the Lord put him in that position? Why'd he mess with them? God wouldn't do that to people. God never messes with you, does he? You go to him and he turns you on your heels and you're, oh, whoa, wait a second. Yeah, I recognize that. That's one of his things. You give them something to eat. They had to take inventory and figure out, there's absolutely nothing I can do about this situation. You've given me a command, I have a responsibility, and now there's nothing I can do about it. There has to be that moment, that epiphany, because if we don't stop and take stock, we end up thinking we did do something about it, we came up with a brilliant plan, we figured it out. But they had to come face to face with the fact, nope, we're done. I can't do this at all. We've worked every angle we can. We've looked at the cactus, we've looked at the grass, it's not going to work. There's nothing we can do here. Jesus directed them, Mark tells us, to direct the crowd to be seated in groups of 50s and hundreds. Okay, we can do that. We can seat people. You guys move over here, how about that area over there? They were pretty good, well-organized guys, and they got them all sat down and ready. But they could not on their own feed this crowd. Jesus begins to hand food to the disciples, and the disciples begin to distribute it to the crowd. Jesus was producing, the disciples were distributing. Jesus was the source, they were the delivery men. It's important for us to understand this relationship. They never became producers. They only ever were distributors. Even after Jesus died and rose again, it's not that he anointed them in such a way that they could go start producing. He was always the producer. They were always the distributors, such as in the time when Peter saw the cripple by the beautiful gate. He said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Jesus had inspired him. This man's going to get healed today. And Peter passed on. He distributed. He connected heaven and earth together until that man was jumping up and praising God and dancing all over the place. A wonderful thing took place, and a lot of people came to Christ as a result. Jesus was the source of the power. Peter was the delivery person. To recap what we've learned in our series so far, God created the heavens and the earth. The older I get, the truer this statement comes to me. When I was younger, I was a chemistry major and so on and so forth, and I heard professors describe things and say, well, you know, the evolutionary theory does fit into the creation story. If you take this and you add that and you allow for yom, instead of being a day, being an era or a period, and there are explanations for those of you eggheads out there who, you know, wrestle with intellectual things and so on. The older I get, the more convinced I am that in 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth. There was nothing. He said, let there be, and there it was. An amazing, powerful God. So it all belonged to him. It was his. He created it. He made it. Then he put people in charge of managing this planet. I wonder how often he has rethought that decision. He put people in charge. He made them. He gave them a couple of edicts. You care for the planet, multiply, take care of everything. He made us in his image to be his representatives. Let us make him in our image. And he made us male and female. and we represented God to his creation. But Adam and Eve fumbled their authority over to Satan. They were in paradise. God had never said or done anything to make them think, oh, gee, I'm not sure about this guy. It had all been beautiful. It had all been great. Everything they saw was magnificent. And God said to them, kids, you can have fruit from any tree in this garden, but there's one tree. Don't touch it. It's not good for you. It's not good. In fact, you'll die. And so they were always very careful around that tree until one day the serpent came, the enemy, Satan, and began to talk to us. Hey, that's a pretty nice looking tree, don't you think? Is it true that God said you can't eat any fruit around here? Oh, yeah, we could eat all the fruit we want except for that tree. Oh, kids, I hate to tell you this, but he's lying to you. That's the best fruit in the whole garden. And because they believed the enemy rather than believed God, their authority was compromised. Sin came into the world, and along with it, death. And Satan became a ruler in this world. He shared the God-given authority that was given to mankind and thus set up this war that's been fought ever since between the forces of God and the troops of the evil one. But God won the victory. The decisive blow came when God came as a man to reclaim what Adam lost. He lived a sinless life. He did not earn the wages of sin. He did not earn death, but he died in our place on that tree. Jesus came, and then he became our mediator, our intercessor, and our high priest. He won the victor's crown. He defeated the enemy. He defeated sin. He defeated death. And now he has the keys to death and to life. All belongs to King Jesus. He reclaimed what Adam had lost. All authority is now his, both by divine right and by the victory he won on the cross. He created it all, it was his. But the kids frittered it away. And so he went and reclaimed that. When I was in high school, I worked sometime at McDonald's. And I was at the counter and I would, you know, make change and get the food for people and so on. And there was one young fellow would come in a couple of times a week, just a kid, oh, maybe 10, 12 years old, must have lived in the neighborhood where the McDonald's was. And he always paid in pure silver. All pre-64 coins. There were quarters, there were dimes, and they were all solid silver. And being a little bit of a coin collector, I always loved seeing him come in because I would change out the drawer at the end of the day, put my money in, and take the silver home. And I was adding to my coin collection. I was too young and dumb to realize what was going on, but later it dawned on me what was happening. This young fellow was cleaning out his old man's coin collection and going for a burger every once in a while. And what he was actually doing, he was paying 2-3 times the value for what he was getting. He had a hamburger. How long does a hamburger last in the hands of a 12-year-old boy? Can you say gulp? And it's gone. He traded what was precious for what was temporary and fleeting. Exactly what Adam and Eve did. They traded what was paradise. They had the bite of a fruit that tasted good in the moment, but oh, afterwards, it was just, it brought such terrible destruction. Jesus gave us a pure world. He gave us every wonderful thing, and we frittered away. It was gone. Jesus came to reclaim it, but when he came to reclaim it, it cost a whole lot more than it did at the beginning. It cost him his own blood to purchase back what we had given away. But when Jesus came, he won back what Adam had lost. Through Jesus, you and I can be restored to our original purpose, which is to represent God in this world, which is to do his will, to find our meaning, to find our purpose. Those of you who are as old as I am will remember through the 60s how many people went out to find themselves, and they got so lost. trying to find themselves, because they were where they always were and could have found it if they'd have just stayed in church and found out that they were created by Him and for Him. And when we find out why we're here and we begin to fulfill that purpose, we find our joy, we find our peace, we find our life. Through Jesus, we are restored to our original purpose. The Lord still chooses to work through humans. He decided that in the beginning, and He's not a liar. He's not a man that He should change His mind. So much so that in the Old Testament, we find these times where God was looking for somebody to use, and He couldn't find anybody. Now, there were times He found people. He had decided at one point He's going to destroy the whole world. It had become so sinful. People were so violent and ignorant and wicked. But then Noah. He found Noah. So He started over with Noah. Later on, He found Joseph, and then it was Moses, and then it was Elijah. But there were times, whole eras, when nobody could be found. He told Jeremiah, He said, "Tell you what, buddy, you go up and down the streets of Jerusalem, and if you can find one person who deals honestly, I will not destroy the city." Woohoo! A whole city full of people. If you can find one, we're talking about Jerusalem. We're talking about these people were raised under the word, under the law. Hey, you find one person who does it right, I won't destroy the city. Can't find anybody to stand in the gap. And when God couldn't find people, destruction fell. Remember when the angel had come, when the Lord had come to Abraham and said, "We're going to go check out Sodom and Gomorrah, and if it's as wicked as I hear it is, they're going to be history." And Abraham said, "Oh, Lord, what if there's 50 people there? What if there's 50 righteous people there? Would you destroy the righteous along with the wicked? Oh, may the righteous judge not do such a thing." And God said, "Okay, cool. If I find 50 people there that are righteous," and then what did Abraham do? "Well, what if there's 45? I forget how low he was. Was it 10 that he went down to? If you could find 10, and then he was ashamed to go any further, and the angel went, next thing you know, the smoke is rising up from Sodom and Gomorrah. The couple that he found, he got out of the city before he destroyed it, but destruction came. We have 7 billion people on the face of the planet now. How many righteous can God find among the people of today? In fact, that's what God said. At any time in history, anytime there's trouble, anytime there's, if my people will humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways and seek my face. Why? Because He's already seeking us. The Bible says His eyes rove to and fro, seeking those He may bless. He wants to do a work in our generation. He wants to do a work in our society. But He's looking for people who are vested. He gave us authority. Will we use our authority, or are we still going to fritter it away to the enemy? Men get caught up in pornography, and women get caught up in whatever, being popular or, you know, getting along with everybody, or you get too busy and so on. And so we fritter away, and here we are. And God is looking for people who will use their authority, who will use their life, saying, "You know what? I'm not waiting for everybody else. Though none go with me, still I will follow the Lord. I will take on myself. I will do this work that God is needing, is calling for." We don't replace God. We represent Him. We represent Him. "Lord, I'm willing to be a representer of You where I live, in my family, where I work. I'm going to quit hiding. I'm going to quit trying to put my light under a bush. Lord, I need You. We need You. It's time. It's getting late. We need more of You." The producer wants to distribute through us. That's the good news. He has power. He wants to do a good work. Please, I've preached this week after week. I know, forgive me, but I see so many believers who have just given up. "Well, it's too late. The Bible says, you know, bad things happen in the last days." Stop it. Stop it. The eyes of the Lord rove to and fro looking for those who are fully committed to Him. He wants to do a fresh work. He wants to do a new work. The same God that spoke the planets into being on day one can speak something fresh and new into our society. He can change the hearts of wicked people if we are willing to intercede. The producer wants to intercede through us. The intercessor wants to intercede through us. And when we intercede, that it's got two components to it. We can intercede between God and people. I'm sure you know some people that are pretty messed up, but you love them anyway. And they're not right with God. Maybe they used to be, but they're not any longer. You can intercede with that. Oh, God, remember Pete. Pete's really messed up right now, God. He said some nasty things. He's done some wrong things. He actually told the officer they weren't his pants. But God, You can save his soul. Please don't stop working on him. Lord, send somebody by this week. Give me something I can do that will touch his heart and point him back to you. Lord, we're praying for Pete. You intercede between God and man. You kind of sick the hounds of heaven. Go get him. Go get him. And then we intercede between Satan and people. They've surrendered. They've given over. They've been following his ways for far too long. But you and I can get in between the devil and them. The devil's going to kill them. He's going to destroy them. He's already been stealing everything from them. And we can rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus. We can be an intercessor there and say, oh, Slewfoot, you are not welcome here. We plead the blood of Jesus over Pete. Get your hands off of him. Quit messing with his family. Let him be. In the name of Jesus. Every high place must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken because Jesus has won the victory. We enforce the victory that has already been won. The Lord need do nothing other than what he has already done. The power is available. Maybe you work for a company and you're a distributor and the goods just aren't there. Maybe you've had to tell a customer, would love to fix your car, but we don't have the part right now. They said that it'll be here on Tuesday, so come back on. This just happened to me at the Honda garage not too long ago. They gave me a date, and they said the part will be in, and I went back on Friday. First, I had a Monday appointment. I was there on Monday. They said, come back on Friday. Well, I came back on Friday. They didn't have my part done, and so it was the next Tuesday. I said, I don't think I believe you anymore. And maybe you've been put in that awkward position where you're not the producer. You're just the distributor. And it's gotta be there. When you work for God, it's there. When he has given you instructions and you are obeying him, he backs you up. It is there. There's nothing more that needs to be done. The power is available now to turn over nations, to renew everything. Will we take up our cause and do the work that God has called us to do, which first of all is to pray? The devil can only push us as far as we allow him to because of our unbelief or fear. We have so many wimpy Christians because the devil's got them hoodwinked. Have you ever been put in a position where there's somebody, there's a big kid being bullied by a little kid? And so you go to the big kid and say, hey, you don't have to take that. Stop letting them push you around. And maybe it's been the opposite. Maybe you got the little kid and say, still, you shouldn't be pushed around by that. There's things you can do. You need to do. Stop letting him do that to you. You have a responsibility. And that's exactly what God is saying to you and me. Stop letting the devil steal your lunch. Stop watching the nightly news and just going, tisk, tisk. I think I'll watch a cartoon instead. Are there any sports on? I can't stand this stuff. Take the authority that has been given us in the name of Jesus. He still chooses to work through people. And you and I have authority. You and I have been given a weapon. Prayer is a powerful weapon given to us to do kingdom work. But like any other tool, if we don't use it, the work will not get done. You can have a 5-horsepower self-propelled mower, you know, all that. Well, it's self, but there still has to be a self there too. If it's just sitting in your garage, the lawn's just going to keep growing. God has given us a powerful weapon, but a lot of us are afraid, or a lot of us are full of unbelief. Well, I don't think God would ever listen to a person like me. I'm just kind of a jerk anyway, and it wouldn't matter. What does God care what I say? You know, He died on the cross to save you. That's how valuable you are to Him. And He said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It does tremendous things. Be a righteous person. Dedicate your life to God. Pray like you've never prayed before. There is hope for America. His name is Jesus. But if the body of Christ does not get motivated soon, just remember Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember Jerusalem. Remember those places that have fallen. You're not being asked to deliver anyone. You can't reconcile anybody to God, and you cannot defeat the enemy. So relax. You're not being asked to go wrestle the devil. The victory's already been won. That's the good news. All that work has been accomplished by Jesus Christ. You can't do anything more than what Jesus Christ did on the cross. It is finished. When you go to pray for somebody to be healed, the power is already available. When you ask for forgiveness, the price has already been paid. The account is already settled. You are the distributor of what has already been produced. We simply place the order for such things to be released, to be delivered. The Father needed a human on earth to break the curse. His human was Jesus. The Word became flesh. God became human and dwelt among us. Jesus' humans are us. The church. He said in John chapter 20, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. What if Jesus had done His job by the Father the way we do Jesus' job? I'll get around to it. Soon as my retirement account is full, I'm really going to go at this thing. You know, when the kids are older and gone, I'll have time and then I'll this and all that. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Jesus didn't do anything but what He heard the Father tell Him to do. And that's where our energy and our strength and our power come from. We have to hear from God. Then when we act, it's powerful. If we just, well, this is what I think God should do, so I'll say this, I'll do that, it doesn't work. You got to stay connected to the head. Prayer is our connection to the head. Our authority comes from the one who sends us and is based on our obedience. We do what the head tells us to do. When I was a kid, we raised chickens. And when it came butchering time, Dad would grab them by their claws, wrap them up the side of a tree, their head upside the tree, slap them down on a stump and chunk, lop off their head, and then it'd drop them on the ground. They'd go running off into the woods. And it was the job of us kids to go chase them into the woods and bring back the headless chicken. You've heard that phrase, running around like a chicken with your head cut off. It's true. Chickens will run. Their nerves will work. They have no idea where they're going. They don't have a head anymore. They could run into a tree or whatever. They just don't have a head. You know, that describes most of Christianity. Our head has been lopped off. That explains a lot, doesn't it? Why people are doing what they're doing. They're disconnected from the head. And we think we'll get along just fine without prayer. We don't need to be in the Word every day. We're too busy for that, right? Bark, bark, bark. You can't even bark. Got no beak anymore. You're running aimlessly. And then we wonder, how did I get so messed up? How did I get so lost? I had a pretty good plan in mind. But this didn't work out, and that didn't turn out the way that it should. You're disconnected from your head. Today, if it's about anything, it's about getting reconnected. Find your brains. Find the Lord again. restore your original purpose. Why am I here, God? What are my gifts? What should I be doing in the middle of all this? Jesus is the head. We are his body. The body only functions at the pleasure of the head. We are his hands and feet. We do what he directs us to do. Far too many Christians are not following Jesus. So I don't even think you really could call them Christians anymore, but we wear that label. Far too many Christians are not following Jesus. They are on a personal journey asking the Lord to bless it. Lord, I'm going here today. God, I'm going to do that today. Please help me, help me be successful. Keep me safe. Do this, do that. And the Lord sits up there saying, hold on, pal. I think you got this backwards. I'm the director. You're the distributor. I'm the producer. You're the distributor. I'm the director. You're the doer. You know, you're the gopher, not me. Don't expect me to meet you at everything you want to do and everywhere you want to go. It's time to get reconnected and become obedient to what God has created us to do. It's time for the drones to reboot in sync with the mothership. Repent of pride, selfishness, self-will, and yield to the Spirit through massive amounts of prayer. Reconnect those broken lines of communication. Get in touch with the Master. In the kingdom, we're not in the production department, we're in distribution, and there's a big difference. There's a big difference. My wife got a new iPhone 6 months ago or so. And, of course, we saw online it was supposed to be coming, in the day. I left the front door open with just the screen door closed, at glass, a storm door, I guess you'd call it. And I'm looking out the front door, and I see the FedEx truck pull up, and the guy's walking down. He's kind of looking at his thing here, and he's got Barb's iPhone in his, it's a box about yay big. And he gets about halfway up our sidewalk, which is brick, and he gives it a toss. And plunk, 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 tink, right up against the storm door. He must deliver a lot of iPhones because he has a pretty good toss that it bounced that. But I'm like, huh? And he's turned and he's gone before I could even think what I just saw. Hey, buddy, you know how much that set me back? Tunk, 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 tunk. What would the producer say if he knew the delivery man was doing his job that way? Whoa, 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 wait a second. You know what we spent? You know what it took us to put this thing back together? You can produce something that's pretty good, but the delivery guy can really mess it up. He's in production. We're in distribution. You represent something larger than yourself. He helped me form my opinion of FedEx drivers. It's not real high right now. And if you go on YouTube, you'll see him delivering televisions. Same way, hoping that the packaging holds up, I guess. Don't be that guy. You represent the Lord. You're the delivery person. People are in need. They need somebody to come with a word from God. They need somebody to touch them in the name of heaven. But if they see you messing up all the time, it's just, no. You're going to be delivering damaged goods by the time they get there. Get reconnected to the head. Live your life according to his dictates. Be a good delivery person of the goods that are produced in heaven. We're not in the production department. We're in distribution, and there's a big difference. We carry the goods he assigns. We distribute his packages to the addresses he specifies. And the more you practice obedience, the clearer his voice becomes. Pastor, you talk about hearing from God. I haven't heard from God. Yeah, you probably have. What'd you do with the last thing he told you to do? See, God's not mocked. He doesn't waste his time. And if you're not going to be serious about him giving you his word, he's not going to give it to you any longer. We like to sit in judgment. Well, Lord, tell me what you want me to do. And if that's what I want to do, I'll do it. He said, that's not the way this thing works. Pick up your cross daily and follow me. What that means is I'm going to be telling you some things that you're not comfortable with. I don't know how you picture a cross, but it's not comfortable at all. But as we obey him, that's where the life flows. That's where the power comes in. That's where the good stuff gets done. Believe in the finished work of Jesus. The power has already been purchased. Believe that God wants to use you in your family, in your neighborhood, on your job, amongst your friends and relatives. He's going to use you. And all the power is already done. One of my favorite quotes is from Clovis Chapel. You've probably heard me say it before. When we cease to believe that the crooked can be made straight, we cease to believe of any use to the kingdom of God. When we cease to believe that the crooked can be made straight, we cease to be of any use to the kingdom of God. In other words, when I pray, I have to believe. Dear God, my Uncle John has been a jerk his whole life. He's been a drunk. He's been this. He's been that. But I believe in the blood of Jesus Christ that you can do a work in him before his time is over. You can do wonderful things. Lord, do it in Jesus' name. The guys I work with, they may be jerks. God, I believe that you have me there for a reason and for a purpose. Let's get her done before you call me home. Let's do this. Let's believe. Step up as a representative of God, an ambassador, an intercessor, connecting people with what Jesus has provided. Read the word, pray the word, believe the word, apply the word. Let's get the work done. Would you stand with me this morning?